Welcome back to another episode of the Scouting Report. Joining us today is Jabari Jeltz. This is a very special episode to me. Jabari is a friend of mine from LA, and we've been friends for a long time. And every time we get together, we talk sports, we talk basketball, football, what's going on. And he started his own company. It's called Delay of Game Hoops, D-O-G Hoops. You can find him, doghoops.com. Check him out on YouTube. I'll put all of his links in the show notes. Go check him out. He does a really good job. He's extremely creative and he knows his basketball. I mean, he really puts in the work. So it shows on his videos. He's very talented. I wish I could edit videos the way that he does. Go check him out. Very excited to get into our conversation today. I haven't caught up with him in quite some time, so I'm excited to see what he's up to, where he's at, what's going on, and I'm excited to share that conversation with you. So I hope it's a good one. And, you know, thanks again for stopping by. Here is season 2, episode 2, Jabari Jeltz. Enjoy. All right. Today on the podcast, joining us is Jabari Jeltz. Jabari, so glad to have you here. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Honestly, I'm just excited to catch up. It's long overdue. Mm-hmm. So you and I are both, like, in a way, working in the sports industry, and that's a big part of why I wanted to get you on the show. So if you could just kind of tell me a little bit about what you've been up to lately, because like me, you know, I can tell you wear a lot of hats and you are kind of like solopreneuring it and, you know, exploring all these little ventures. So I'm just curious, like, what's lately going on with you?
Okay. Yeah. So right now it's basically like the off season. Usually, so I have a website called doghoops.com. The brand is called Delay of Game Hoops. And basically it's a website where, you know, it's just mainly like NBA themed content, but the big selling point on the website is there's a database of every player in the NBA, like a scouting report, some highlights, also make highlights from my YouTube channel as well. But usually during the summer, like, that's the time to like add and change over all the new rosters and stuff like that for the new season. So in the process of, like, you know, if someone's player profile, like, for instance, Chris Paul's was on Phoenix last year, it's like trading him technically to the Warriors and like updating their roster for the season. Talking about like kind of the storyline for the year, doing new highlights, and then adding in the new rookies for this year as well. So just kind of been, you know, updating my website for the most part, but then also doing a lot of highlight videos. I've been started something a couple weeks ago, just doing a highlight video every day until the season starts, which is on the 24th. So it's kind of been a venture, but it's paying off in terms of like the audience growing for the channel. And a lot of the videos are, you know, underrated players, because I'm familiar with every player in the NBA, but I like to focus on some of the ones who, you know, don't get that much shine, or guys that, you know, could be breaking out next year, like a Jaden Hardy at Dallas, and like a few other guys like that. But it's just mainly been updating the website and then, you know, doing as many highlight videos as I can.
Okay, so that's interesting that you kind of have like an interest in picking out guys who are a little less notable. That's my whole thing in college. I'm always looking for the guys who are going to get drafted that no one knows about. Like, that's how I cut my teeth. And I'm curious to see like what you're looking for. Maybe we should even talk about this offline in addition to this, but just kind of like what excites you about a player that you think, I got to highlight this guy. Like Hardy is a great example, right?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah. So I guess from an NBA perspective, it's interesting because, like, obviously you see it from the college perspective, and I think it's hard to kind of hit on, not to say different prospects now, but I think that's like impressive because there's so many players like jockeying for the league. Like, they've got the extra two-way spot now, so teams can carry up to 18 players on the roster. So it's kind of like there's so much talent out there. Like, even with the extra two-way spot, you see guys that aren't in the NBA and you're like, they're talented enough to play there. Definitely guys in the G League playing overseas. So for me in the NBA, I look for guys who, if you did make it to one of those spots, and like, for instance, you got your two-way converted, or like you're a player who didn't play too much as like a late first rounder, early second rounder, and you have that chance next year, I'm definitely looking to highlight those players, because in the NBA, I think a lot of people know this, but it's obviously about opportunity most of the time. You know, you can have established hierarchies of teams and whatnot, and guys who, you know, move around a lot, but there's definitely a lot of players on each team that could play if they were given the minutes or have minutes. So for me, I'm always partial towards like scoring guards or scoring like point guards, playmakers, combo guards. Like, I had grew up watching, one of my favorite players was Ben Gordon from the Bulls. So I used to always love like those players that can play both positions, or, you know, just dynamic scoring guard. So Jaden Hardy's somebody like that that I'd, you know, really love his game, his creativity, and I think he's actually going to start killing with the Mavs next year.
Yeah, I love it. That's, first of all, it's really cool that you have that interest, because, you know, it's so common, especially in like a league where it's all about like superstars, and, you know, every kid is now emulating their game after Steph Curry, or right. if they're huge, Luka. And, you mm-hmm. know, if they're like big dudes, like Luka, everyone's Luka now. I don't know how much pickup you've been playing, but now I feel like every time I play, someone's trying to be Luka. It's like, come on, mm-hmm. man, just pass the ball. It's like, you don't have to step back every time. So I think that's great. You mentioned Chris Paul and, you know, updating his player profile. Are you going to mention that he never missed a single shot in his time in Washington?
It's one of the best Wizards ever by default.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big list. I had to throw in my Wizards jab. Okay, so you went to USC. When did you start the layup game? When did that begin for you?
Initially, it started just a couple months after graduation. It started as an idea. So me and a couple of friends from high school, we just kind of wanted to stay around the game and figure out ways to, you know, contribute to the NBA, just really from a fan's perspective. And because that's obviously all our perspective. We weren't really like anyone who, you know, played at any, you know, high level or high school or college, but just always, you know, been really, really like a huge, like diehard fan of the league. And I wanted to start sports blogging. So I started on one platform, and then the one that I'm at now, like this is probably entering, I think, year 6 or 7. And it kind of just derived from, I remember in the beginning, it was something like they were kind of challenging me. That's how the profiles started on the site. They're challenging me if I knew every player in the NBA. And there was a time where like I knew every player in the NBA plus the college they went to and like stuff like that. So it was, for me, I think I've always just been interested in learning every single player, because I think that's the only major league where it's possible, you know. In NHL, there's so many farm systems. Same with, there's a huge like minor league system. Same with baseball. Mm-hmm. Football, the roster sizes are enormous. You know, it's kind of hard to get to know everybody. But basketball is just like that sweet spot where like there are about 500 players, but it's more feasible than you think, because you see them so much. Like whether, you know, they're playing or not, you see them so much. And it initially began just, like I said, just doing like basic like recaps and, you know, previews of games, then just kind of evolved into, you know, getting to know like the players more like on a level that's deeper than, you know, just like the surface in terms of like what they're actually can do on the court. So
absolutely. You know, we play in a very similar space. I also, like, especially when it comes to draft time, I am hyper aware of all the players that are draft eligible for both basketball and football. And so obviously like the football list is very long. It's like 450 guys enter their name into the draft list eligibility, and maybe 250 get drafted. But like, I'll put a list together of like all the top guys and where I think they're going to go. And we get into it. We talk to scouts, we talk to coaches, we try and figure out, okay, who's going where, what are the needs, what does the roster look like, what's going on. It's like so complex, and it's such a big circle to like put together. And then you go through the names and you're like, okay, we know personally like 100 of these players. Like we've talked to 50 moms. We've talked to like everyone's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like, we're like literally like involved in a couple of the guys, especially like, all right, like if he doesn't go here, we need to call this GM and immediately try and get him to go at this spot. And right. It's like, it's interesting that we both have kind of like a complex bird's eye view of what's going on. Cause most fans, they really don't, but that's why I wanted you on the podcast. Like you're in the sports world with me, and it's so cool that we've got a little overlap here. Can you kind of tell me like what goes into creating content for your platforms? Cause I don't know the first thing about what like you need to do in order to make those cool videos.
Yeah, I think the first thing is kind of, well, obviously selecting which player you want to do the highlights for. But for me, I try and look at it from the perspective of, so what I've done to learn games of players, especially guys coming out of college, what I do, like I was telling you before, like a player profile database, like researching guys and like getting a sense of their game and like writing like scouting reports, that kind of stuff. I look for how I would want to structure a video and want to show somebody, like show off a player. So like, say I'm trying to describe a player to a friend, like the way that the video is constructed is in a way that I would describe them to them, or describe it to somebody I'm talking to. So it's like, I would start off with something that's really, you know, probably explosive or something that's very eye-catching. And then from there, I usually go to similarity. So I'll go like a lot of like, you know, moves that are kind of similar that they have mastered are good. Like, this guy's good in the mid-range, so I'll show like a bunch of clips in a row, like mid-range, then go from three, or if I'm trying to go all jumpers, go like pull-ups, this side of the court, that side of the court. Like, I look at it as, how would I look at this if I'm, like I said, trying to explain it to somebody, but then also from like a scouting perspective, this player is like literally trying to highlight every good part about their game. So
That's so smart, Jabari. That's so cool.
Combined with the underrated player aspect, like guys who maybe are a little bit more unheralded, I think that kind of stands out to some people because it's like, oh, I didn't know this person had all this in their game. But, you know, like I said, there's so many things that NBA players can do now. It's, I try and like get like a piece of everything that they can do well, or like I've noticed them do well at least. So that's usually where I start with. In terms of selecting each player, it's just kind of how I'm feeling or what, you know, who I also want to learn more about, because there's players I, you know, obviously I know their game, but, you know, how did they improve if I, like, for instance, wrote their profile a couple of years ago, coming into the league versus they're in the rotation now or this or that, like they add anything to their game versus, so we do volumes. We'll do like volume one, could be like one season, then maybe like a season later, we might do even a volume two, just kind of depending on the that player, the demand.
I want to dive a little bit further into the process when you're creating these videos, because they are all really cool. I haven't seen every single one of your videos, but I've seen so much. I was diving through it over the last few days. And just in general, I follow you on every platform. So, and anytime I see something, I'm like, oh, Jabari. Oh, let's see what he got. What he got cooking. Oh, I know that guy. Like, I'm watching the videos. I'm always hyped about it. When you're creating the videos, my question is this you solo? Are you doing this on your own, or are you part of a collaborative effort that's actually creating the content?
Just me and one other guy, my friend Daryl, who I started the, I started with him, and my other friend Reggie. But me and Daryl, the only ones who do the highlights. So we like, usually alternate. I think it was probably like maybe 65-35, like in my favor in terms of like volume of videos. We also have a separate WBA channel, which he kind of spearheads. It's flipped, like he's more 65-35. Yeah, we have like a big list of like players we want to hit and like, you know, make sure we do these highlights. A lot of it is from a curiosity standpoint, because there might be some players that he doesn't know, like want to check out. And that kind of, for me, like I want to go more in depth of who this player is versus, you know, I still know, like I said, what they can do, but there might be some extra layer thing, like, you know, what they do this season, like versus maybe last year, just kind of things like that. But
yeah,
usually we target the more under the radar type of guys, though.
I love it. Yeah, I've already kind of asked about it, but like, what are you looking for when you're looking to create a content about some specific player? Like, just the fact you're highlighting these guys, I personally love it. And again, we kind of play in that world of in terms of like who we view as valuable. So it's very interesting. Have you gotten any reaction from the players? Like, are they seeing this content? Are they sending likes and stuff? And are they commenting, or you hear from any of these guys directly? Like how has the engagement been in terms of the specific people that you're highlighting?
Actually, haven't gotten too much from the players. And I think that's the next step of like what I need to and want to pivot to, like kind of more of that. I've gotten, you know, obviously from like the fans, like, oh, I didn't know. There's like certain guys, I think we did like a Wendy and Gabriel highlight. I was like,
oh yeah,
this deserves a sub, because we, you know, haven't seen anybody do like a mix of Wendy and Gabriel. But in terms of the players, we need to do like a better job, and that's something I want to do in the future, is like target more towards like, you know, showcasing them. Like I'll send them like their highlights sometimes on Instagram and that kind of stuff. But I think that would have worked more, you know, years ago. Like now it's like they're so oversaturated, they probably wouldn't even see them that way. But I think there has to be a better method of getting that to them. But I think because they are like a lot of them young players and guys who don't get as much shine, it could work, but we just have to figure out that balance.
Are there any like, is there any oversight or rules about making these videos? Is there anything that you have to be careful about doing?
Well, not really. The only thing is like you can't monetize the content on YouTube because it's copyrighted, you know, the broadband account for the YouTube
that makes
automatically
sense.
Detects it, so they're not gonna be able to can't like monetize those particular videos.
Okay.
But not really. I know for me, I don't really have like any rule of thumb. Like, you know, sometimes like we've had videos in the past get blocked because it's what I would think. I think it's like some of them have like blown up really fast, and I don't know if this is true, but like they might put like a cap on, you know, the reach. I think that has happened like a few times before, but there's nothing that I think for me where I'm like, I can't do this, I don't want to do this or that in any particular video.
Okay. It's interesting. All right, what's next? What's next for Delay of Game? Let's not talk about this season. Like, where are you in 5 years? What are your big goals?
Good question. I think for me, I've always envisioned it as something, you know, bigger than obviously just like making highlight videos or being a blog. I think, and not to say that I'm aiming for this, but a model that I really like is Overtime and Slam, like how they've kind of adapted from the, you know, print space, digital space. And like just gotten like a lot of you know, they have like different like leagues, like tournaments, you know, like some balls life. I want to definitely get into that realm of like actually, you know, maybe more grassroots type of content, and you know, obviously target more you know, amateur, like obviously high school, and you know, promote that way. But for me, I definitely want to just push the limit of, in terms of, that's the one-stop shop for you, like if you're an NBA fan specifically, or somebody who's trying to learn about a player that you might know of a little, but you know, you want to learn more in depth about their game. I think that's what I want it to be, like that go-to source for anybody who's trying to learn. Yeah.
Let's get into USC. You went to USC. It was, you know, more than 1 year ago, but you know your ball. I want to get a little prediction. They're 6-0. They got six left. What are they ending up with? What are they going to look with? What's their record at the end of the season? Pre-bowl game.
Head says undefeated. Heart says it might be I just hope no one catches us. I think there's a good chance to go undefeated if they can get through that gauntlet of a couple of these teams in the beginning. Like so I just think a couple of these games just can't be close. Like if there's any sort of trouble with the next few, like with Notre Dame,
or Utah,
Cal, and then Utah. And Utah's always played. They beat us twice last year, obviously. Like that's,
yeah, it's a little revenge game here.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be that this next stretch right here is going to be the most important. But I'm going to say undefeated because I'm biased. But
I love it.
What do you think?
I love it. Yeah, well, I also, it's hard to win in South Bend. That's why they're not projected here. But I think they take this one, especially after last week. I think they'll wake up a little bit. Notre Dame's good. Like, don't get me wrong. Notre Dame spent a lot of money on players. Now it's known, and they are talented. But I think you guys will squeak out with a win. If you can beat Utah, which that'll be a game, then you're 8-0 going into Cal, and then that's 9-0. It's gonna be Washington, Oregon, and UCLA back to back to back.
That's the toughest stretch of the season at the end, too.
We'll see what happens. I'm just gonna say it just for clicks. I'm gonna say 10-2. All right. Rooting for 12-0. I love Caleb Williams. I want him to be Washington's next quarterback. And the way we're playing, we might have a chance at him.
No, it's fine. It was a Caleb Williams bowl the other day, the Bears and the Commanders.
Oh,
it was,
yeah,
two teams that, you know, definitely can be in the running. And it's funny because, like, as a Bears fan and as a USC fan, it's like, yeah, I love Caleb Williams, but I also really like Justin Fields. So I'm like, I don't want to give up on him too early. And I think a lot of the problems with Chicago right now, it's not his fault. So,
yeah.
But, you know, you don't really want to pass up on a guy like Caleb Williams if he's available. So that would be a tough one.
That would be a tough one, yeah. It's so much money to walk away from, to just risk getting injured and staying.
A lot of people are saying that, yeah, he could, you know, depending on who has that pick, like you said earlier, like he could maybe stay an extra year. But I, you know, this a perfect example is I saw this when I was at school because just to age me real quick, but the quarterback that was there for all 4 years I was there started as a true freshman was Matt Barkley. So like Matt Barkley had the chance to go out after his junior year and he was going to be projected like top like five or something like that. It was like he was that high of a draft pick. And I remember him like announcing on SportsCenter that he was going to go back for the year. And I was like really happy as a USC fan, but I was thinking like, you know, hopefully it doesn't backfire in terms of like his career trajectory. But literally that next year, the USC struggled a little bit more than they should have. And he fell to like, I think, third round. And his career kind of, not to say it didn't recover, but it didn't take off like immediately. Because, you know, obviously if a quarterback gets drafted first round, like whether they immediately start or not, they're going to get a chance to play like and be that franchise quarterback for, you know, until they prove that they can't do it. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Like Mac Jones.
Exactly. So he would have had at least that initial shot, which I feel like he didn't really get that because he went back to school. So with Caleb, I think it just has to be the most informed decision. I wouldn't look at the team at the top because, I mean, there's other ways to kind of like, I wouldn't say force your way to other situations, but I would rather go to the NFL or go pro versus stay because I think the only league where it makes sense not to is probably WNBA and women's college basketball. But other leagues, I think if you have a chance to be number one, especially, you got to go. You definitely got to go.
Oh, yeah. If you're a first round projected pick in, I think, any sport.
Yeah.
Definitely, I can speak to basketball and football. Just go. Yeah. Go figure it out. Like, unless there's like something really personal going on that you really just can't do it. Like, it makes no sense. Quickly to backtrack to Washington, Chicago. The stat of the day going into that game was Chicago in their last 14 games had let up 25 points to every team, a minimum of 25 points.
Really? Like, that losing streak was all 20?
Wow. And all 25 points. And yes, they had lost all 14 games. And then they played Washington in Washington and won. So,
yeah, I was surprised. As a Bears fan, I was not expecting that. That was fun to watch from a Bears perspective.
Go Trojans. So look, always nice to catch up with you.
Absolutely.
And genuinely, thank you so much for your time. And, that's it, you know, but no, dude, so great having you here. And again, thanks so much for stopping by.
No, of course, man. I appreciate you inviting me. And anytime, literally, because I really love what you're doing too. And just your platform. This is really dope. And honestly, inspired me to make my own podcast content, because these conversations are just so fun to have. You know what I mean? Like, and like you said, we could go on for another hour or two, even today, you know what I mean? Just talking about the sports.
No question.
Anytime you'd want to have me on, I'm definitely down.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold you to that. And if you ever decide to go on your own venture for a podcast, if whatever I'm doing at the time fits into that world, I'll happily jump on yours as well. You're my guy. Sure. And that's what it's all about, you know, helping those that you care about. And so, all right, boom, we did it. We nailed it.
Well, there you have it. My conversation with Jabari Jelks. Jabari, like I said, is a great friend of mine. I'm so happy that I had a chance to catch up with him today. If you want to follow him on Instagram or on YouTube, I highly recommend it. I'm going to put all of his links in the show notes. So wherever you're listening to this, or even if you're watching this on YouTube, just click below. You're going to see all of his links. I highly, highly recommend it. I can't overemphasize this enough. He does great work. His content is terrific. This podcast is hosted and produced by Scott Eisenstadt and co-produced by Central Park Sound. Audio production, editing, and theme song by Jordan Schiff. Make sure to rate and review this episode, and if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, and follow The Scotting Report wherever you listen to podcasts.